everyone in Calcata.
You should wait.
Oh, I have a brutal nature center.
I wouldn't even take it.
I wouldn't even take it.
I really don't know why they would take it.
Yeah.
It's like, it just doesn't sound like I don't see the value.
Sound like a fun class.
It's not even that. It's just like there's no value to it.
Like, there's no value to it?
Like, yeah. I feel like if you're gonna, like, if
you actually right, but you guys gotta work out.
Score high enough, okay, good. Good. Which good. Doesn't good. Happen.
This
but,
morning?
You'll get credit. Yeah, then it's not like, oh, yeah. If you're going into something that actually makes just calculus, like, okay. I mean, like, you're still gonna have to take, like, calculus 2, 3, right. 4, like,
okay.
Who does?
I love that.
Texted you?
You did not text.
I did.
There's no text.
Phone broke.
You can go.
I still have
620. Oh, okay.
My older brother took AP
calculus. That clock is 2 minutes past.
Yeah.
It should be changed because it causes nothing but problems over here. It has. It's because people show up late.
Thank you, John.
It is. Look at your thing. What time does it say?
It's 6:30.
Okay, that's at 6:32, so that's 2 minutes back.
Oh, no, she
doesn't. The time is now 6:30. The chair will call the Human Services Committee meeting of Monday, February 1st, 2016, to order.
David Hallman.
Present.
Michael Gable.
Here.
Anita Johnson. David Arrington. Aaron Decker.
She is excused. I have not heard from the other two.
Okay. Greg Retzloff.
Here.
Leah Blau.
Here.
Sarah Klimisch.
Here.
And Jasmine Zian.
Here.
Agenda item number 2, citizen comments. If there are any citizens who wish to address the committee, please step forward, state your name and address for the record. You have 5 minutes.
Always a big crowd.
Seeing no citizens, citizen comments are closed. Agenda item number 3, approval of the minutes of January 4th, 2016.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Gable, second by Supervisor Blau. You can governance.
Aye.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The minutes are passed. Agenda item number 4, resolution to approve the county executive appointment of Barbara Wisniewski to the Kenosha County Commission on Aging.
4, 5, 6, and 7 on your agenda are all resolutions for various committees. You want to take them one at a time or just kind of group them together? I can just start talking about each and every one of them, whatever the committees.
Okay.
Move the lump together, put them all together.
Second.
We are, okay. There's been a motion and to group them together. There's been a motion and a second. Is that all right? Procedurally, you think governance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Aye.
They're a little rusty.
It's an agreement on procedure. We're not actually.
Are they,
I didn't think are all these people, motioning to approve.
Excuse me. Are all these people current?
Well, Barb is not. She had worked at Aging and Disability Services for a number of years, has retired, and Laverne had reached out to her about being on the Commission on Aging. Unfortunately, I don't believe she is in it here tonight. Gabe Noodle had been on the Brookside Trustee Board as the County Board Supervisor and would now become a citizen representative on that board. And Richard Willoughby and John O'Day are both active members of the Kenosha County Human Services Board.
So this is indeed our former colleague.
Yes, Mr. Noodle.
There has no, I see Gabrielle.
When,
that's his name.
Oh, okay.
I had one question that was brought to my attention. Oh, but Gabe is, okay. The people on the Brookside Board of Trustees that are also county supervisors?
There's a mixture of them.
Okay. How is there not at all considered conflict with that?
That board structure has been in place for a long time. I'm trying to think.
What are you sort of thinking?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we approved $18 million you know, for Brookside, when we did that, mm-hmm. and there were people on the supervisor. I didn't think about the time. This was brought to my attention just off the cuff by some people. Is that not a conflict for them voting for it when they're also on the board?
Well, we do that in the Human Service Committee and at Finance Committee. Various things are voted on and taken up to the board by county board members. I would, without being talking to Corporation Council or anything along those lines, I don't know that that'd be any different.
Are we concerned they're reserving our room early? That's what they intend to be, so.
I totally don't understand what you just said.
Are there, what, two county board supervisors on Brookside Board?
Was it John O'Day?
John O'Day sits on it, and
Rick Dodge.
Rick Dodge, I believe, are the two.
Yeah, and then the rest.
And then the rest are Bob Pitts, who's the chair.
Bob Pitts, yeah.
I haven't been to that meeting in a while, but Gabe, if he gets appointed. So there's, I think, five altogether, maybe more. But that structure, all those committees and board structures were put together when we became a human service department, and certainly were reviewed at that time back in the mid-90s by Corporation Council, and they found the committee structures to be appropriate at that time, so.
Okay.
Do we know at all if other nursing homes have similar structures in relation to their county government, or are we just kind of special in this regard?
There's only, what, two counties that have?
Yeah.
Even in other states, not just Wisconsin.
I don't know.
Okay. Just curious.
We're always special.
Any other questions?
No.
So what would you like to do with these?
Motion approved.
Are you sure? We sat here in silence for a while.
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion for approval by Supervisor Blau, second by Supervisor Gable. This is of, what, 4, 5, 6, and 7, right? All together?
Yes.
Okay. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
Thank you.
Give us a second to sign these.
Making John's life easy.
Thank you.
Be Laverne Joe.
And she's already gone. She ran out of here.
Made her life really.
She sent me an email about 4:45 asking if she needed to be here. I told her no.
Nice to see you anyway. It's all right. Agenda item number 8, Department of Workforce Development, presentation of Human Services 20 transaction report.
I'm going to have Adeline talk to you tonight about the volume numbers that we see down at the job center. You know, often I hear that we're kind of the best kept secret of Kenosha County, and I don't think people quite understand the amount of business that goes down there. So I had her pull the numbers from 2015, so she'll kind of go over those with you right now.
Hello, everyone. It's been a long time since I've presented before this committee, and there's several new faces here. But my name is Adeline Green. I'm the Division Director for Workforce Development for Kenosha County. And I'm going to explain the information that you received in your packets. And I'm going to start out with the first document, which says reception stats for KCC, Kenosha County Center, Human Services Office. And I believe the copies that you received have a dark line going through them, which should be numbers at the bottom. And what I'm going to do is pass out another document, because when we copy these forms, sometimes the numbers don't appear the way they should. And so that's a cleaner copy of what you have in your packet, so you can see the activities that are going on. Yeah, so just pass down one for everyone. Thank you. I don't know if you're aware, but for workforce development, we have two locations. We have one location in Western County. It's called the Kenosha County Center. It's located at the corner of Highways 45 and 50. And it's just a smaller operation of our human services office at the Kenosha County Job Center. The activity report that you see reflects activity that occurred during all of 2015. There are several categories. The first is the self-help computer room. We allow our clients, customers, to go into a room and utilize our computers, fax, copy, go on the computer and apply for benefits if they want to. And so that's the amount of activity that happened month to month for self-help and the computer room. We also have a receptionist at our Kenosha County Center who sees walk-ins, takes people who are there for appointments, both for the Child Support Agency and for the Economic Support Agency, as well as the Wisconsin Works Agency, the Food Share Employment and Training Agency, and Wisconsin Home Energy Assistance Program Agency. That's what all those acronyms stand for. So you can see the activity from month to month. We have what we call a distribution office. We have people who come in and because they're receiving some type of benefits, like food share benefits, there's a card that they need, which is called a Quest card, that they come in and they can make a request to get duplicates if they lose their card, or just if this is their first time applying, they can get a card from us. Under distribution, BCP stands for BadgerCare Plus. Some of our recipients who are receiving medical assistance have a premium, much like any insurance benefit. And so some of them come in with a check and make their payment to us. And so that's what those numbers reflect. Then at the Kenosha County Center, we have a variety of other things that happen. We used to have job fairs there on a quarterly basis, but those job fairs have been moved to Gateway Technical College, Madre Grande Center. And so there's zeros reflected in 2015. We, in the future, will remove that if we don't have any job fairs in the future. Holiday House is an activity that happens generally toward the end of the year, August, September, October, November. And it's a coat giveaway, a food giveaway, toy distribution that happens through donations from the Goodfellows. So those are the number of people at Western County that access those benefits. By appointment only, veterans can see a veterans officer if they can't make it to the job center, which is where the veterans office is located. So there's sporadic activity there. Some people who are receiving unemployment benefits come to the Kenosha County Center for workshops. And some folks, very few, come for the Workforce Investment Act program. Also at the county center, we have a health division there, a small health division. There's one nurse that's there, and she sees people from Western County who needs immunizations or health checks and things of that nature. And then there's another program called Women, Infants, and Children, who also utilize that office. And then we have translation services that we offer for people who don't speak English as a first language, and primarily those are Spanish-speaking individuals. So the grand total over the course of the year of people who went to the Kenosha County Center totaled just under 5,800. The second page in your handouts is actually the activity that happens at the job center. The job center, of course, is our main location, and that's where many of the participants and clients come for services. And so this setup, this transaction report looks much like the one that you just saw for the Kenosha County Center. And it basically explains the monthly activity for various and sundry reasons. You can see there's very similar services that are offered at the Kenosha County Job Center. And additionally, there's some other services that we offer, including we are a homeless mail drop-off site, and so people who present themselves as homeless can leave their mail at the Kenosha County Job Center for a period of time. About 30 days will allow them to do that, and then they have to either find another, an alternate mailing address, or utilize the post office for their mail. And so the activity there at the Job Center, the Kenosha County Job Center, as you can see, is much more than what's at the Kenosha County Center, because it's located in the city and that's where the bulk of our clients come. So you can see that there are, were a total of over 56,400 transactions that occurred in 2015 at our main location, the Job Center. And in addition to those 56,400 services, we, when clients bring information into us, we have to scan that information and send it to an electronic file system. Most of the work that we do is done by computers, and we convert paper to electronic files. And so that green section that says scanning services, that's the number of pieces of paper that came into the Job Center that were scanned and sent to the centralized data processing unit. The bottom are other transactions that occur at the Job Center for either economic support, case management, child support, Division of Children and Family Services, WIA, the HUD program, the housing program. And so there is an additional almost 12,000 transactions that occurred in addition to the 56,000. On the back side, these are in-person transactions. On the front side, on the back side, in addition to the in-person transactions that occur, we have an agency that fields phone calls for us. Goodwill Industries has a number of clerical staff that answer the phones for the entire building, people who are looking for workers, looking for information, wanting to fax stuff, wanting to make appointments. And so in addition to the people who presented themselves in person, we had more than, or almost 260,000 phone calls that came into the building. That were for various reasons. And in addition, so I'm done with that page, the clerical services transactions. What I wanted to say is those phone calls come in from the general public for a variety of reasons. But in addition to those phone calls, we have a unit called the Economic Support Income Maintenance Workers who also field phone calls specific to eligibility benefits, people who are wanting to apply for food share or medical assistance or child care. We operate under a consortium with Racine County, and we track the number of phone calls that come in on a quarterly and an annual basis. And so the sheet that is blue, has the blue lines, those are calls that come in addition to the ones on the previous page. So in 2015, there were an additional about 212,000 calls that came into Income Maintenance Call Center. The final document, which has all different kinds of colors on it, pertains to the Workforce Investment Act programs. In addition to all these people that I've just described to you, we have a program that caters to people who are dislocated, laid off, unemployed, underemployed, and looking to enhance their skills so that they could either become employed or get better employment. And to that end, we have a business services team that goes out and gets job leads and brings them back to the Job Center and then puts together a number of job recruitments, which is the yellow portion of this report. And you can see the amount of activity that happened over the course of a year in terms of people who came for job recruitments on site or targeted recruitments with people like Amazon and Meijer and Niagara, as well as we had some job fairs, as I indicated, at Gateway Technical College. And generally speaking, we have those job fairs quarterly. So we had three job fairs in 2015. And this tracks the number of people who attended, as well as what we know about the number of people that were hired as a result of those recruitments. The next section, which is kind of lavender, pertains to assessments that are done for people who come into the job center. Sometimes we have to track their educational levels, their skill levels, to make sure that they are fitted with the right job. And so those are the number of assessments that were done during the course of the year. We have a unit called Employment Central, which is state operated. And this is the unit that handles the general public, not necessarily the public assistance participants. And so the general public comes in for a number of reasons, because we have workshops. They're unemployed or they're receiving unemployment benefits, and they have to attend certain sessions, like the rapid employment sessions that are identified in the light blue, or they're coming to get some special certification for a particular job that they're interested in. The next section, which is gold, pertains to the Trade Adjustment Assistance Act. People who have been laid off due to foreign competition, they get special training and special funding from the state, and so that's the number of people who came into the job center for those type of services. The green section pertains to the Office of Veteran Services, which is the state Office of Veteran Services. We also have a county Office of Veteran Services. And this division works with helping veterans find employment. And so you can see over the course of 2015 how many veterans were enrolled and screened and found full-time employment through the efforts of the Office of Veteran Services. In the blue section is our computer lab. We have an on-site lab that people can come and go pretty freely and update their computer skills, take classes, do their resumes, and you can see the numbers who came through there to utilize the computer lab free of charge to them. And some of them are program people, some of them are the general public, and some are dislocated workers.
So,
yes, you have a question?
Sorry.
Question. No problem.
Veteran Services. So I'm looking at like the caseload versus enrolled,
mm-hmm,
and screened and employment.
You're looking at the yellow section. Where
the
are
green.
You?
OVS.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Green on my screen.
Mm-hmm. Green. All right.
Have we had some challenges in that area? I mean, I know that's the state, that's not us. So maybe we can.
I'm not certain. Let me just take a look at this. If there were 17 on the caseload and 15 of those were enrolled, and then two of them received employment, full-time employment, I think the 15 and 2 totals to 17. Some people come for a short period of time. I'll just say this. They come if the service isn't providing what they think it should provide, they don't necessarily come back, and that may pertain to the low number of people that are utilizing this. I think what happens, and I'll use December as an example because the other months are different. It looks like there were 17 people, only one of them enrolled in whatever the programs are that they offer through the Office of Veterans Services. That's a state program, so I'll just say quite honestly, I'm not totally familiar with what they do. There's some type of screening that they do, and 15 of those 17 people did actually go through the screening to determine whether they were entitled to the benefits that office offers. And some, where it says exits, it says 4 exited the program. They exited either on their own or they exited because they received full-time employment and they were satisfied. But yeah, I think just in general that is a hard or difficult population to work with sometimes, because their expectations of what they come for are a little higher than what can be delivered. That's just my sense of what goes on.
Is there a chance we could get somebody from there in here just to kind of talk a little bit about what they do in our area and maybe if there's some places we could possibly improve?
Most definitely. Now, they are state agency.
Right, I get that.
Yeah. But certainly, I can ask one of the two individuals that works in that realm if they could come. You're asking if they would come before this committee and talk about some of the challenges.
Our county veterans service officer, maybe it can be a little bit of a brainstorming session, too, in a way. I mean, I'm sure he's in constant communication with them, but...
Right.
This might be a good idea.
Now, the distinction is, if you want both of them to come, this office, the state office, works with actually getting them employed.
Yeah, I know.
And
I got that.
The Division of Veteran Services works with getting them benefits that they're entitled to.
I got that.
So, okay. So you want them both to come?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Just to see what that conversation is.
They work out of the same office down there?
They work out of the same building. One is a county office and the other is a state office. They're down the hall from each other, but they do communicate with one another.
Yeah, I know where one is, but...
Yeah. And I'm not certain. I believe it's Al Garcia who deals with this population.
Okay. Well,
but I will double check.
If it's Bob the Builder, we want him.
Okay. We will make the request. How's that?
Thank you.
We'll make the request.
Did anyone else have any questions for Ms. Reed, or can she continue?
This is a difficult population, isn't it? I mean, the veterans.
Yeah, they're a hard-to-serve population for a variety of reasons. You know, they're suffering, some of them, from PTSD and just difficult. And so that's why the numbers probably don't look as good as they could. So... But like I said, I don't work with this population. I'm just presenting the numbers. And if Mr. Garcia can come to one of the meetings and present this information, that would be fantastic. So Margaret is putting that in the minutes. Mm-hmm. We'll make that request. Mm-hmm. The last on this particular page, kind of the aqua blue. Once again, we have a computer lab at the job center, as we do at the Kenosha County Center, and this just gives an idea of the number of people who come through the computer lab from month to month and the type of programs that they are identified with, because we track what program that they are entering the computer lab. The second page of this report, the pink talks about the types of workshops that are held at the job center. We offer a number of free workshops to people every single day, every single week. Some of those are held at the job center. Some are held at the Urban Outreach Center. Some are held at the Kenosha County Detention Center, just because as people are leaving incarceration, we want to make sure that they, you know, have the skills, resumes, and things that they need in order to try to find employment. It's challenging for them as well. If you're interested, I did bring along a list. You can take that. Quarterly, we prepare a list of our workshops, our free workshops that we offer at the job center every quarter. And so that's just for your information. DVR, which is a state program, Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, is also housed at our job center. They are very reluctant to provide us with information in terms of the people that they serve and what the outcomes are of the people that they serve.
Hi, sorry to do this.
No problem.
And I hope somebody has questions other than me, so I don't feel weird. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at PCDU. You talked about the detention center.
Mm-hmm. That's called Professional Career Development Unit. We have lots of acronyms.
Who is the person, do you know, that in terms of formerly incarcerated and employment, I know I've asked this question before a couple of different places, and I don't think it ever really landed any place solid.
Mm-hmm. Who is the person, I'm sorry,
that would essentially deal with that? I don't know if they have a regional person or if it's a statewide person. I don't know if it's a DOC or if it's a DWD thing.
It is a DWD contracted services individual who works for Goodwill Industries. His name is Pedro Harvey. So he goes to the detention center as well as the urban outreach center to do workshops on site for them.
Okay. I'm wondering what our placement rate looks like for folks that were formerly incarcerated as far as jobs goes, and how we can improve that, because I know that that's a problem.
Yes.
I mean, it's easier if you're in certain places, I think, probably like drug court, but
right.
Not everybody is necessarily that ambitious to yield that kind of success.
Right. I'm not sure about the answer to that question. We do have another program that's identified on here on the front page.
I mean, if it's not county level, then, you know, somebody with the state, that's pretty much more what I was thinking.
We work with, and when I say we, I'm going to say the child support unit works with a population of formerly incarcerated individuals through a program called SPSK, which is on the front side. And they actually have a case management individual who works with employers, a certain amount of employers who are willing to take on formerly incarcerated individuals. And we have some statistics relative to that specific population, but not to the incarcerated or formerly incarcerated population in general.
Can we hear from that person that you just mentioned?
Of course you can.
And follow up on the other thing, whether it's from the state or whoever it is that's got it?
Yes, you could do that.
Is that okay?
All in one meeting? I'm just asking. I'm just clarifying.
As a nerd, yes.
Do you want them all at the same presentation?
Okay. No, we won't. We'll just have that and maybe a few other things.
Okay. Yes, I think we can arrange that too.
Thank you.
Okay.
I apologize to the committee. As I'm looking at these numbers, I'm noticing loose ends that really we should have probably looked at and tied up sooner. So I apologize for the late sudden burst of whatever. Sorry.
Questions?
Anyone else have questions for Ms. Green?
Questions? We also have, just finishing up, in the goals section on the second page, we have a Job Corps program that's located at the Job Center that works with youth, trying to get them on the right track, employed.
What's the age range for that?
It is, I believe it's 16 to 24. I have to confirm that, but I'm pretty certain it's that age range, 16 to 24. But I will find out for certain. Okay, that's another state program.
For
the youth corps, the job corps. And then, last but certainly not least, we have Gateway Technical College located on site, part-time, Monday through Thursday in the mornings, that works with...
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You mean... That gold section, is there a person in charge of that too?
Yes, that's that.
There is a person, yes, located at the job center.
Ask him to come in too.
Ask her?
Yes.
Yes, we will. Okay, and once again, I just want to clarify, you want all this at one meeting?
That one probably should be separate.
You think it should be separate?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever. That's up to you guys. You guys can decide. I don't care.
Okay, it depends on, you know, just how long you want them to present.
Yeah.
And I will certainly make the request of these state people. Okay, I just want to be clear.
Do you want me to email a cabinet secretary? Because we can make that happen. Half of them know me already.
Let's see what happens when I invite them. And if you need to intervene, then intervene.
I know sometimes they're kind of weird about that, yeah.
Yeah, but certainly we can make that request. And then Gateway, of course, is located on site. And they work with people who are trying to get their GED, HSED, in the various programs that we operate at the Job Center. Those are some of the numbers for the Gateway students. And I believe those are all the numbers, but there's lots of activity that happens, as you can see, in workforce development.
You mentioned with the Job Corps that was a state program.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a regional liaison for that from the state, as opposed to just the person that we've got in the building?
Well, I believe the person we have in the building, and I have to confirm because they change periodically. I believe she's regional. I don't believe she works just out of our job center.
So these numbers aren't just Kenosha County's there?
No, these are Kenosha County numbers, but there are numbers for the other areas that she works in. We only track Kenosha County numbers, except in the case of the call center, which is a consortium between Kenosha and Racine. These are Kenosha numbers only.
So the regional person is, I mean, that's a massive caseload for the year. Because, I mean, the drop-off rate for that is not very high. So to be carrying folks over from month to month like that is... So if you're the regional person, who's the person who's the next notch up?
That would be the Milwaukee office, whatever okay. That is.
If they could send a rep to and we can, that'd be awesome.
Milwaukee, I think you're... You may be stretching it a bit.
Why? Is that an email situation?
I'll make the request. How's that? We'll make the request.
It would be a DWP email, right?
Because you're asking someone from Milwaukee to come to Kenosha in the evenings. And so I will make the request. And if they decline, then you can make your contacts and see if they can appear.
Okay, I just could go for broke, but all right.
Okay.
Any other questions for Ms. Green? Okay. Chief and Governance, did you have any questions for Ms. Green?
No.
She gave us a number, so it feels like Christmas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 9, health. Presentation of evaluation of the local health department visitation program. Impact of reproductive life planning.
Thank you. I asked Gwen Perry Bry to come tonight for a couple reasons. Number one, she just recently earned her PhD, which is quite the feat and certainly something that Kenosha County will benefit from, and to present what she actually did as part of her dissertation tonight. So we're not going to have probably a 4 or 5 hour presentation, but I want her to just kind of come in and give you kind of an overview of what's going on and to let you know people that are continuing their education, and it's going to certainly be a plus for all of us. So, Gwen.
Thank you. I'm the Clinical Services Director, Assistant Health Officer for Kenosha County, and thank you for asking me to be here today. I recently completed my doctorate in nursing practice, which Yay! Is one of the arms of the doctorate degree from UWM Milwaukee. It's not a PhD, but it's a DNP, which means it looks at the expertise in clinical practice, which I'm going to kind of summarize my final project from there, evaluating this local health department, its home visitation program. And I always would like to start with this. According to the 2015 survey by the National Campaign to Prevent Child, Teen, and Unplanned Pregnancy, the ability to plan, prevent, and space pregnancies is directly linked to more educational and economic opportunities, healthier babies, more stable families, fewer abortions, and a reduced burden on taxpayers.
I'm sorry, could you please say that again?
Yes. The ability to plan, prevent, and space pregnancies is directly linked to more educational and economic opportunities, healthier babies, more stable families, fewer abortions, and a reduced tax burden on taxpayers. Part of the reason why we have worked really hard to implement our home visitation programs. I'm actually on page 3 now, and I started off this capstone project just saying some of the greatest public health achievements in the 20th century was the improvements to maternal and infant health. With the crisis that you see in Flint now, that actually was a failure of public health. Because we know that many of those accomplishments that deal with maternal child health, deal with healthy water, deal with fluorination, all of those were public health achievements that we achieved 50 years ago. So to go back to that is really detrimental to our population. In 2011, 24,000 infants died before age one. But the Centers for Disease Control actually cited in 2014 that if the death rate was the same as it was in the 1900s, over 500,000 infants would have died in 2011. So we don't see the impact because we're actually living, you know, the actual harvest of what public health has achieved. On page 40, it talks about the hallmark of family reproductive health planning in the United States, and it has been the ability to really achieve desired birth spacing and controlling family size. Smaller families, longer birth intervals have contributed to better health of the infants, the children, the mom, and it improved the social and economic role of the mother. Birth spacing for this particular project was within 16 months. 16 months from the birth of the last baby to the pregnancy of the next. And that's what I looked at. Back in about 2009, Kenosha, we actually presented here to this board asking for your approval to seek monies from the state, which were federally funded, in order to implement home visitation programs. Both of the programs in which we've implemented, and I'll talk a little bit about them in a little while, they all had a process which were called the Reproductive Life Plan. It was a set of personal goals about having or not having children. And what we see now with very restrictive policies and laws that are happening, we really need to figure out how we can mainstream some of those really common principles on how to maintain health in women and children. The process of planning a pregnancy is really complicated. As I went through and did chart reviews, women have many influencing factors on how they make decisions. Sometimes we think they're not even making these decisions, it's just happening. But it's a very complicated situation. There's a national report called the Pew Home Visiting Report. It found 7 federally approved evidence-based home visitation programs. We here in Kenosha implemented 2 of them. One is called the Nurse Family Partnership Program, and the other is called the Parents as Teachers Program. Both have been implemented in the health department. The difference between the two programs, the Nurse Family Partnership Program is actually the eligibility criteria is for women that have no children at all. And the second program is called Parents as Teachers, and that program is designated for women that have other children. So in both of the programs, we ask the nurses to actually administer these common reproductive life principles. They're a short questionnaire. We ask, do you hope to have any more children or any children at all? How many children do you hope to have? How long do you plan to wait until you're next or till you become pregnant? What do you plan to do until you're ready for the pregnancy? And then the last question was most important because this actual intervention or this conversation was actually being had in their third trimester. And then it's, what can we do today for you to achieve your future goal? And by having that conversation with them, they were able to discuss contraceptive methods. And not only that, but to continue to have this conversation with them, the first postpartum home visit, 4 to 6 weeks after they deliver the baby, 6 months after postpartum visit, and then annually, because these home visiting programs last from 2 to 3 years. The setting was actually the Kenosha County Division of Health. The design was a retrospective. I actually reviewed the charts, all of the charts, and we'll talk about numbers in a minute. But it was a two-year period of time from September 1st, 2013 to August 31st, 2015. There were 1,652 women referred to the health department over that two-year period of time. These referrals were coming from the local WIC office, Women, Infant, and Children, she spoke of, private providers, pregnancy testing centers, Nurse of the Day, which we have a Nurse of the Day site in three different locations in this county. From that, we were able to extract 1,188 initial pregnancy assessment forms. These are women that have been diagnosed as being pregnant, and they actually said, yes, I want to do an assessment form. I want to look at possibly going through your program. Now, of them, 882 women reported that they had a previous pregnancy. With a history or not with the local health department for that previous pregnancy. I want to just back up a minute and just say that of the 1,658 women that were referred, that was about 40% of the total population that gives birth per year for the 2 years. We were actually touching almost 40% of the pregnancies in this county through pregnancy tests. So of the women that have had previous pregnancies, that's the 885, the mean age was 26. I would have thought they would have been teenagers, you know, we always deal with teenagers, but these were 26-year-old mean age. 56% of the women were between the ages of 22 and 29. 22 were black or African American, 70% were white, but of those, 30% actually self-identified as Hispanic. So I would say that it was an even third split between white, black, and Hispanic women who were part of this particular survey. Now, you have to understand that the racial and ethnic results were a greater representation of the African American and Hispanic population in Kenosha, because according to the U.S. Census Bureau, there's 6.6% African-American women in Kenosha and 6.5% Hispanic. Education, about a third of the women, less than 12th grade education, almost 50% completed high school, and close to 20% had some or graduated from college. Three-fourths of them were single, about 25% were married. The flow chart is really why I wanted to put it up on the board. At first I thought, oh my goodness, you know, I'm not going to have any from the study that went through our program that gotten pregnant. When I actually looked at it, of the 882, there was only 46 women that had touched our program that were pregnant again. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, and then of those, only 26 of those women actually received the reproductive life plan. So even though our program has just started, when we looked at statistics and tried to compare and we did some statistical analysis, we saw that the women that did not participate in the program and the women that did, their risk factors looked the same. They really did. But what was really significant about that is that the women that had came through our program, they weren't getting pregnant again. The numbers are really, really low, and which means that the program is actually effective, because we weren't seeing the numbers of women. My first look at it was in my biostatistics course, the third one that I had to take. The first time I looked at it, and I only had six women that had entered our program again after previous pregnancy. So, you know, the numbers were so small that the statistician that I was talking to, she was like, I don't know what this is going to look like in the end. But in the end, it does tell the story that if you have a very effective home visitation program that really works with women, then you don't see the recurrent pregnancy. And I'm hoping in 10 years, I can come back and say the same, that this is long-term type. Right now, it's a little too early to say definitively, because the next slide actually shows the shorter intervals between pregnancy, those enrolled in the home visiting program, than those that are not. But then again, remember that this program has only been in existence for 3 years. So anyone that is pregnant would have a short interval. As I was going through the data, there were women that were, their babies were 15, 20 years apart, but the program's only been here for 3 years. So that comparison was not really valid. The limitations on the program is the time prearranged for the Capstone Project. I only had the 3 years to do it, and I refused to give up any more in my life. But it was real important to start that and to get it done. I had a limited number of women who participated in the home visiting program, as I said, on that second go-round, second pregnancy. The strengths were just the process of assessment, looking at and taking to scale all of the nurses, no matter what component of the health department they were working, everyone was actually offering the reproductive life planning principles. And then a template on actually going back and looking at this again in 5 and in 10 years to make sure that we're effective. When I did the research lit review, the literature review, when I looked at that, there are quite a bit, a lot of studies out there that really look at birth spacing and look at the health of the baby. And one of the major factors that they found is the shorter the time from one pregnancy to the other, the more likely the complications. And most of the literature suggests that there should be at least 3 years between one pregnancy and the next. And we don't see that happening in the very young and in the older women. So it's one of those things that, you know, that the nurses are really having conversations about it with moms. And I think that this one intervention is really important to maintain health, not only individually, but for a community. Some of the implications of practice is just better educational principles. The nurses, they really were not providing that type of education, and to expand it even further, many of the local providers are not providing the information either. So it's something that really needs to be done from a more macro perspective, looking at the total community, to show the importance of reproductive counseling, reproductive life planning counseling as part of an interconceptual care, to actually make it commonplace that we have the conversation. And then to provide practical application of integration of these principles into public health and also into private providers' offices. I conclude with saying that it's really crucial that key stakeholders in positions of influence, especially in policy, to understand the importance of reproductive life planning and to understand how these policy decisions can really improve maternal and child health. It really can if, in fact, you know, we really focus on a life course perspective. And it's crucial for these programs to target reducing these short birth intervals. I started off my career in labor and delivery, and that's one of the saddest nights is when we get someone coming in that the child is being delivered early and won't survive. It's just doesn't have to happen. Our last slide is one in which one of the staff actually pulled together this collage of babies. And I always say, this is what we're working for. And I leave you with saying that not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed without being faced, by James Baldwin. Healthy, planned parenthood is the key to improving reproductive life potential and equitable access to care.
Any questions?
I'm just verifying, this isn't just teenagers, correct?
No, this is all women of reproductive age in Kenosha County for 2 years.
Supervisor Russell?
This is primarily people that aren't working, or?
No, these are women that have been referred to the health department for pregnancy testing.
Okay. I guess my question, I'm thinking, employer plans, and I think probably have one here at this county, have programs for bringing it all out. Some of them are called Rosebud, and I know these names, you know, nurses get involved. Is that, would that be intertwined in something like this too then? If I know like health insurance carriers, mm-hmm. to get employer business, that's one of the things they are asked to do. How do you handle our pregnancies as far as, prenatal care, planning, that type of thing? And they all have these elaborate displays. I've seen them all. Okay. And I don't know, that's I guess my question is I don't know what my question is. I'm thinking it's there. I'm trying to think. You got your dad is really good and all that. How does the private sector, did you dive into any of those?
Well, I didn't dive into the private sector. One is because the data is difficult, and our home visitors are actually working with those women that have public assistance. And when I said that it was about 45% of the women that are touched by this program, medical assistance does cover about 40-45% of the pregnancies in our county. Okay. So all the rest are private. And okay. I would love in my next life is to do some comparisons of medical assistance clients that are pregnant and those of private insurance. That would be a real difficult study in order to get that data. We have been working on access to OB care in Kenosha for a long time, and we finally turned the corner on it. And part of that is not so much we don't have the providers, but we don't have the ability to access those providers because of the insurance type. So even with some of those programs that you're talking about, Rosebud, CareNet, all of those community-based organizations that look at encouraging women to self-sufficiency and health education and all of that,
right.
Even though we have those, it's difficult for women to access the basic prenatal care in which they need. And one of the reasons why we actually brought two home visiting programs in. And it's actually different than social services, which they do more of the cognitive social development. We got to get those babies out healthy. So we needed to start a little earlier. So we've been working with Early Head Start so that when women are pregnant and identify themselves in Early Head Start, we monitor them on a weekly, bi-weekly basis during the pregnancy, doing health education, doing nutrition, doing all of those health needs in order to grow that baby and to grow it healthy so that maybe we don't need an early head start. probably not going to work, but trying to get them healthier at birth and not to have to deal with some of those moms coming in real early in their pregnancies, losing their children.
Okay.
Supervisor Bob?
Yeah, I have a question about your flowchart here. It says you're reviewing the assessment forms for eligibility. Now, are there actual patients that don't meet the eligibility requirements?
Yes.
What is that?
There are there are several different risk factors that we use, race, homelessness, history of violence, you know, all of those issues that are, that have been created by the state. And it's called a prenatal initial assessment form. And from there, we look at the risk factors. If they have four or more risk factors, they are eligible for our program by definition of the actual home visiting program. If it's less than that, we have another nurse that actually can take them on during the pregnancy.
Okay.
But her services will stop at 60 days.
Okay.
But yeah, in order to be eligible for the programs, they would need to have, they would need to be, I don't like to do the air quotes, but they would need to be at risk or high risk.
So the lower your risk, then, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
But we still have some services available.
Sure.
Safe sleep practice. We have car seats, cribs, and those type of issues.
What are your home visitations like entail? Like, what do they consist of?
Wow.
Oh, sorry. Is
it no, that's fine. Nurse Family Partnership, because I actually went to Denver to beg them to bring this program to Kenosha, it actually is a weekly, bi-weekly program in which the nurse actually builds this relationship with her client, which is the woman. It's client-centered. So whatever the woman feels is a success, that's what we consider a success. We look for small change is good. She meets with her on a weekly and biweekly basis during the first part of the pregnancy up until the third trimester, and then she meets with the mom in third trimester, which was about 28 weeks or so, and then she goes to 2 to 3 weeks after delivery. She starts with her weekly visits again until 6 months, and then it's every other week until the baby is 2.
And the purpose of that is to
health
ensure
education,
that the baby is healthy and the woman?
And the mom.
Okay.
And the family. We incorporate everyone that the mom wants us to incorporate into this unit.
Okay.
Okay. And if there's a significant other, that person is incorporated into this environment. Because one, we're looking for reducing rapid pregnancies, mm-hmm. Birth spacing. We're looking at a healthy mom and baby. We're looking at self-sufficiency. We're looking at her finishing school, if in fact that's what she wants to do. Mm-hmm. Work, employment, all of those things are incorporated into our performance measures. Supervisor Reslow.
Yeah. I have a question for you on premature pregnancy, premature deliveries. Mm-hmm. I assume you have quite a bit of experience with such a topic. How does this help? I'm sure it does. I mean, is it like significant? I mean, in your opinion, I'm not looking for data, but would you say the chance of premature birth is much less if someone is through this type of program?
You know, I didn't look at that per se as a risk factor in this particular program, but what I do see is some of the education, the health education that they receive, is they know the warning signs. They know they have what they call facilitators, and they are cards in which the woman decides on what she plans to talk about the next visit. And if she wants to talk about labor and delivery, if she wants to talk about signs and symptoms, if she wants to talk about anesthesia, but the nurse actually does incorporate, depending on where she is in the pregnancy, she incorporates signs and symptoms of early labor. That's real important to know, because a woman might think she has a urinary tract infection and she can actually be in early labor. Any other women in the room know. And there are actually mitigating things that we could do in order to stop that. Fluids, rest, left side lane, you know, all of these. Really, to me, it sounds basic because I've been in the field for 30 years, but if you're talking to a 21-year-old that this is her first pregnancy, she has no idea what you're talking about. We make sure that she's going to her visit so that she's had an exam, she doesn't have an infection, she understands how important, you know, fluids are, she understands her proper nutrition, all of those things. And we're really closely linked with WIC. So they do a nutritional assessment, making sure that her iron's good, you know, all of those things. So I think that there are ways in which we can help to produce healthier babies. And I think that this home visitation, the whole principle, if it's either if it's social services or if it's health, this home visitation concept, it's not new. It was just removed because of the resources what weren't there. But now they're putting resources back into home visiting. And I think moms are going to be healthier and babies are going to be healthier because of it. I'm just glad to be in this place, you know, to be able to see this. And the state has been really good at allowing us to do it. I'm sorry.
Do you have anything else, Supervisor?
Oh, thank you.
You mentioned this 40-45% number.
Mm-hmm.
That's of total pregnancies in the county in a given year?
The medical assistance.
Medical assistance.
And I think that you would be able to kind of give me a better number.
Not
but
by
I,
age categories.
No. Total medical assistance paid deliveries. I think the last time I looked at it was when we were writing a grant, and it was in the 40s. That medical assistance is responsible for the payment, or public assistance is responsible for the payment of that many of the births in this county.
Oh.
That's what I mean.
I got you.
And that's why when I say that, as I reviewed and I looked at the number of births that occurred that year, I am reviewing probably all of the medical assistance.
Okay, I see what you're saying. It's an overlap in terms of population.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. So having that clarification in mind, your opening statement about education and economics.
Absolutely.
Clarify exactly what that means. That requires a bit of unpacking.
It benefits the community to look at the woman before she's born, to make sure that the community can provide that, we call it reproductive potential, on a positive, providing protective factors, making sure we have a strong health care system, making sure we have a strong human services system, making sure that public and private are working together to provide access to care. All of those things that if we look at our infant mortality rate in the late 2000s, where our African American infant mortality was 25%. I mean, it was huge compared to the rest of the county. We look, and I don't want to compare states because someone, why do you use that state? We look really horrible. We look like a war-torn environment. Kenosha, we're better than that.
Which and state did we closely that. Resemble?
We've proved that we're better than that because we all came together. We talked about it. I kept presenting, I thank you too. I'm always, he was in my corner. And we came and we talked about it. How can we do this? We researched it. We found that these programs would be helpful. We are on a downward trend for our infant mortality. And that's an indicator of the health of the community. Your infant mortality rate in your community. If it's low, the rest of your community is pretty healthy. And that's a national, WHO. In 2007 actually made that statement. It's so a great
you always see that in mm-hmm. when they show states and areas. That's one of the
primary.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big one.
Yeah. And if we look at what's going on right now in Kenosha, it's really a great improvement.
Right.
So I'm glad Ms. Green is here. Can you talk a little bit about medical assistance population? I know with the institution of the Affordable Care Act, I suppose that's changed a little bit, or I'm not sure to what extent.
The medical assistance population, I think, is one of the more stable populations that we have in Kenosha. Some of the other groups are declining, but there's always the need for medical assistance, either through the Affordable Care Act or through Badger Care programs. And so, in short,
so Marketplace then is considered part of that then.
It's considered part of the health insurance,
right.
But not part of medical assistance.
Right.
It's
okay.
Two separate.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, more and more people are becoming insured for health coverage in Wisconsin through both affordable care and badger care.
I'm asking, dare I say, and I'm probably digging too much into this intellectually. You know, you talk about an overlapping population, and the 33% white, 33% self-identified Latina, 33% African American, and so I see a greater representation of women of color, but I also wonder about the poverty factor too, and how that relates to your opening statement, and maybe if there's something different that we could do, or if am I wrong in kind of going down that road?
No, you're not wrong. Part of what I'm hoping that I can bring to the table tonight is the need for continued support. I mean, we cannot be grant driven. We cannot, you know, jump from grant to grant, and when we don't have monies, we don't have the program. These are very needed programs in our community, and it takes partnerships, both private and public partnerships, in order to do that. Medical assistance alone cannot bring these women to the point in which they are right now. We had to really seek out federal, state funds in order to do this.
Priority budget. You're here. We spent $27 million in Brookside for your report.
Oh.
No, not just, that's a conversation for him and I. That's okay.
Well, this whole thing saves money in the long run.
Yes, it does.
I mean, you have a healthy baby, you're going to have a healthy child. You teach the mother about health as she's pregnant. She's going to, you know, move forward in the future doing, you know, feeding her kid properly.
That's our success story. Yeah. Not all of our stories are successful, but that is the success story that we look to have. Yes.
You mentioned the phrase earlier, stable family. How are we defining that?
Stable family, by what the woman defines as stable. It is very client-centered, what we do. I mean, what if she says, yes, I have this partner, but I don't want him involved in this care? That's what we do.
Okay.
It is very, it is defined by her.
Yep. And that's probably the only way something like this could work and
yes.
be successful.
Yeah. The trust is built, and we maintain that trust.
Cool. Any other questions? Oh, go ahead. Ask away.
Would this program kind of be compared to, like, Planned Parenthood?
Because
I know they do, like, testing and things like that for women that, like, don't necessarily have the financial support towards it.
No, not necessarily, because we're actually working with the mom during her pregnancy.
Okay.
And then we're continuing with her postpartum.
Okay.
So it is more closely aligned with a comprehensive home visitation program.
Okay.
Even though we do provide the necessary reproductive health services.
Most of these pregnancies unplanned?
I wouldn't say that. That was one of the questions that was in the initial assessment. And the question was the timing of the pregnancy. Would you have had the pregnancy earlier or later? And it fell in the middle. So, I mean, if you statistically, 50% of the pregnancies are unplanned, but that doesn't mean it's unwanted. It just means that, you know, either here or there could have been, I had one. I mean, but once it happens, then we want to look at health. Then we want to make sure if that's what she's going to do, we try to grab her real early in the pregnancy and make sure that, you know, her road is a healthy road.
For their doctor's visits,
mm-hmm.
if they don't have a mode of transportation, do you guys provide transportation to the appointments for them?
We find different incentives. The grant that we're under, it provides for a stipend or incentive monies that we can use for, tokens, bus tokens. Medical visits are actually covered under transportation, county transportation.
Okay.
So they have a way, but we try to remove all of those barriers
mm-hmm.
to make sure that they get to their provider
okay.
visits.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
As a nurse practitioner, when you say doctors, oh my God.
That's
like, sorry. I do have a doctorate, though.
Any other questions?
Very interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Agenda item 10, so go to the or law. I don't believe there is any. 11 committee member comments, just one. Those of you that are members of the committee, and yes, that includes youth and governance, this is a card for Sharon. Please make sure that you sign it before you leave. I will see to it that our missing members sign it as well. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion by Supervisor Blau. Is there a second?
Aye. Second.
Second by Supervisor Retzloff. Youth and governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. We stand adjourned. Thank you, ladies.
Wow, they were
on here too. They're moving. Oh, wait. I need Dr. Gwynn, actually. I'd like both of you, actually, if I could, but that's not possible. Yeah, you. I like partying with people. Because partying
alone. Do you really need her?
Yeah, I want to pick their brain about something. I'm sorry.
You know, some people have a life.
I cancel mine for this.
Oh, yeah?
What's exactly
going on? Oh, maybe.
Oh, Ms. Sharon? She's got cancer.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Where's it at? I think
so. Hey, John, I don't, John, what kind of... Yeah, it's John, you know.
I mean, is it...
What?
Yeah. Oh. What's the... What, you keep looking at him like...
Oh, my gosh.
What?
What cancer does she have?
Lung, for sure.
Oh God!
When she first got diagnosed, but this is when the minute she